evening, Element City Church and guests. I am so excited to be here tonight. And I am very, very glad you are here. And you're not going to get a treat because I'm preaching. You're going to get a treat because God has a divine appointment for each of you tonight. He is here. His power and his presence is all around us. And so normally when we start a sermon, you guys, myself included, we all kind of sit down and we get a little comfortable. We get in our seats and cozy in and get our water all settled just to sit back and listen. Tonight, that's not what we're going to be doing tonight. I'm going to need you to move to the edge of your seat. I'm going to need you to lean forward because tonight is not about being comfortable. I want you to be expectant. I want you to maybe even be a little agitated. I'm okay with that too. Because tonight we have work to do. God has work to do in us. So we don't need to be relaxed and settled just to absorb more information. That's what you have the internet for. Tonight, instead of absorbing more information, God wants transformation. So that is what we're going to be looking at for tonight. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I claim this space as your sacred space. This is your church. This territory is yours. And the hearts, the parts of our heart that we have given over to the enemy, Lord, I am praying for transformation, that you will do a work in us so that we can give back that territory that does not belong to him. Lord, you are a God of miracles. You are a God of signs and wonders. You are a God who can move mountains when he speaks. And that is what we are claiming tonight. Lord, that is what you want to happen here tonight. Lord, let us not just listen with our ears. Let us live this with our hearts. In your son's most precious name, Jesus. Whew! That worship today, we are continuing our summer in the Psalms. We've walked through verses on searching our heart. We've also talked about verses of getting to know God better, understanding the reverence of God, the culture of confession. Lyle talked about getting into the Word of God and how important that is. Last week, Jack talked about blessings, the blessings and benefits God gives us in our soul. And these are all essential things to us following Jesus. Because God has been getting our hearts and our minds ready for some crucial next steps. I get that question a lot. Kimberly, what do you think God wants me to do next? I don't know what he wants me to do next. I just sit and wait because I don't know what to do next. We always think it's something that you're going to do, like go on a mission trip, or start a new Bible study, or quit a job, or take a job, a vacation you deserve, a nonprofit you want to go get involved in, a service project that you want to start, which is to make a big impact. And while God might be calling you to do those things, the book of Psalms is teaching us that there are steps beforehand to build your foundation on. You know, I'm not much of a builder. I mean, I can do a good Lego set with instructions, but foundation is important when you're building a house. I mean, you get that wrong, and everything is uneasy all the time, and your house can fall down. If your foundation is off, your life falls apart over and over and over again. So God is wanting our foundation to prepare our hearts, learning who God is, learning how God sees you, practicing confession, getting into his word, letting the word come alive. The verses that we're going to talk about tonight and dive into tonight, they're a continuation of some of the next steps to take with Jesus and building that foundation firmer. The problem is that these verses are really direct. They do not mince words. They're a call to action. Most of the verses we're going to go through start with verbs. I'm a teacher. Verbs mean action. So God is asking us to do something. No matter how hard we try to twist it, no matter how watered down we try to make this, or no matter how hard we flat out ignore these verses, they are at the core of our foundation and our relationship with Jesus. So go ahead and turn to me in Psalms 37. Psalms 37, 1. We're starting right at the beginning. If you are looking on the app, I don't put my notes on there. Sorry. Put your phones down. Pay attention. Sorry. I don't know how to do it. Verse 1, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. I want you to start noticing those verbs. Make your fourth grade elementary teacher very happy. See where God is talking to you. He's going to stop you somewhere, irritatingly, like over a word that you keep going back to. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Whew! As I was preparing for this tonight, I got to be honest, I did not get past verse 1. That's how slow I am. So the most of my teaching tonight is only verse 1. So that's the good news. The bad news is it's only verse 1 because it's hard. Do not fret or be envious. Fret. I fret every day. I'm a fretter. If you're a woman, most of you are fretters. We're fretters. This fret means worry. Another version means don't bother your head. Church, let's be honest. Right here, right now, our heads are bothered. We got so much going on right now, it's hard to pay attention. I get that, because our heads are bothered. We're bothered all the time. As I was preparing for tonight, I was trying to keep like zero offenses because offenses can block the spirit. The minute I walked out my hotel room, we were up in Phoenix this weekend, it started. Then I went to McDonald's and I got a sweet tea and an unsweet tea, and I was bothered all day. I kept having to pray and repent all day. We are bothered. We are consumed with worry. Trying to figure things out, planning and preparing every detail, every part of our schedule. How are we going to get it done right? How are we going to do it perfect? How are we going to do it better than the guy in front of us so that we can get ahead? Our heads are filled to the rim with all of this fret and worry. It is filled so much, there is no room for God. There is no room for God. Do not fret because of those who are evil. In other versions, it says braggarts, or those living in the world, chasing the world's view of success. Or worse, pushing onto all of us to join this rat race of accumulating all this stuff and getting ahead and being successful according to the world. Church, why are we letting unbelievers, people who are not followers of Jesus, and the culture push us into living a life of fret and worry? In Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." It says, "And the peace of God." That's our promise. So I ask you, where is your peace? Where is the peace in your life? Not because everything's going okay, not because life is perfect, not because of any of our circumstances. This is the peace that comes because you are a child of a mighty, mighty King who loves you so much, he put his son on the cross to die for you. He loves you so much, he wanted to save you from a life of worry and a life of fretting, because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. He is in control, not you, not the world, not anyone else. The darkness trembles at his name. The darkness bows to him. When he speaks, he moves mountains. This should bring us a peace. This should bring us a supernatural peace. You can't think, you cannot outthink God. You cannot outplan God. The more you try, the more you will fret and worry. Fret and worry is the opposite of faith. Fret and worry is the opposite of faith. So right now, we're going to do things a little bit different. I know some of you, different is uncomfortable. We're going to Selah, or pause. That means pause. And we're going to spend some time in prayer. Brian is going to play some music in the background. And we're going to spend time confessing. We're going to spend time confessing our lack of trust, our lack of faith, our worrying about and running ahead of God, are letting the world run our life, trying to take control of things that are not ours to control. So as we go into this time of prayer, tell God what's weighing on your heart. He's a big God, he can handle it. Maybe it's finances, maybe it's health, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's what you're gonna eat for dinner. He'll take care of the big, he'll take care of the small. Put it at his feet, but I need you to be specific, church. I need you to be specific. Because the enemy is specific on his designs for you. So right now, as we go into that prayer, just put what you're weighing and what you're worrying about and what's weighing you down at the feet, at the throne. If you need to have a posture of on your knees or a posture at the front or you want to lay down or you just want to sit in your seat, whatever's comfortable for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We put this all at your feet. We leave it here. Your cross is enough. You are enough. And Lord, we thank you for being a faithful and good, good God. In your Son's precious name, amen. God is so good, you guys. He is so faithful. One of the things part of our foundation is this needs to be a part, a daily part of our life. When you get up, when you're driving in the car, when you're at work, before you go to bed, all the time. When you feel that worry and that fret come up, you know where to go. So that it becomes immediate. It becomes something that happens automatically. Because you know that your God needs to take care of that. Because he's a God of peace. He's a God of hope. He's a God of joy. And you guys, that's the only first part of the verse. Let's look at the second part. The second part. Do not be envious of those who do wrong. Now you know why we got to spend a lot of time. Because we are worriers and we envy a lot. Or maybe that's just me. In another version it says, do not be jealous. Does that hit a little bit harder? Of people's wealth or things they have that you don't. Envy, jealousy is that desire that is tinged with that resentment that somebody has something more or is doing better than you. We've all felt envy or jealousy. Some of us are sitting here right now feeling it, and it could be over my cute shoes. I know. Or some of us are consumed by it. I'm envious. If you guys know Micah, he was up here earlier. I really, really want to play an instrument. Micah plays 11. 11! Okay, why does he need 11? Why can't I have one of those? He can't play all 11 at one time. Why can't I play one? And Micah is a nice guy. And he sings. And he's got great hair. Really, God? 11. Mm-hmm. This took a lot of work, and it still looks like a hot mess. Micah just comes in looking all windblown. Perfect. 11 instruments. I just want one. It's easy to think some people have everything, and God skipped over us in talents, in looks, in finances, in money, in position, in status. If only I had this, if only I had that, why does he get everything? Or why does he get more? We are envious of things big and small. Married or not married? Some of us are married and we don't want to be married. Not me, babe, not me. Some of us are not married and we long for it desperately. Kids, some of us have kids, we don't want those kids. Not me, kids, not me. Or we don't have kids and we desire it with all our heart. New car, old car, travels. Gosh, you look on Facebook, some people get to go all over the world. Some of us can barely make it to Phoenix. How about envious of body types? Oh my goodness. Let's not even get started here. You want to talk about fretting? We fret over this. We are envious over this. Jobs, status, playing sports, not being able to play sports, houses. If you live in an apartment, you want a house. If you live in a house, you want a bigger house. I'm envious of closets. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm envious of people's closets. We're also envious of the small stuff. Where are you sitting at church? Who talked to you at church? Where are you going to sit at dinner after church? Because you guys are going. If you're invited to a party, if you're not invited to a party, if your kids are left out. Gosh, we can be envious for our kids. This is how the enemy attacks us, church. He constantly attacks us in this area. If we spend all our time being envious or jealous or fretting and worry, we push out God. There's no room for him. Because this is a direct spiritual attack. Envy and jealousy is a direct spiritual attack on your joy, on your hope, on your rest, on your contentment. It attacks our confidence in God and who we are in God. It destroys our ability to care for others. You can't be caring for people when you really resent them in your heart. I'm gonna help you. I got help for you. But inside, you're just like, oh, 11 instruments. I love Micah, I'm just saying. I asked if I could talk about him. This is spiritual warfare. This is a fight that is deep within us and above us. So much that you cannot fight fret, worrying, jealousy, and envy by just trying harder. You can't just sit there and go, oh, please, 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 please. Because the enemy's design on you is specific and focused and strategic for you. And he is coming to rob you. He is coming to rob you of your joy and your hope and your trust in your Savior. He wants to make you think that he can steal your inheritance from you by putting doubts in your mind that God isn't who he says he is, that God can't do what he says he can do, that you've been given a raw deal, that you're not worthy of his love or blessings because you've screwed up so much. Or maybe God is ignoring you. And these are lies from the master liar, and we rebuke them now. Because those are lies. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. So again, church, we're going to do something a little bit different. Because if you hear this, but you don't practice it, and you don't go in prayer for it, you're just going to leave here with some more information. So I'm going to say a lot. I'm going to pause. And we're going to go back to prayer. And as the music starts, you're going to spend the time confessing what envy has taken part in your heart. Roots that are deeper than you want. Those jealousy that gets, it just gets in there. And again, don't be generic. Don't go around it. Don't play games here. Bring light into that darkness. Bring light into the areas that you think you're hiding from God. And ask God to fill you with the hope and the truth and a joy that overflows. And when we go in prayer right now, be confident in your prayer. Be confident. You know why? Because you're not begging. We're not paupers. You don't beg before God. You know why? Because he is our king and we are his children. So we ask confidently that he's the God of the God in this Bible and his promises hold true. So that's what you're going, not arrogant. You're going saying, Dad, I got some junk in my heart that goes pretty deep and I need you to get it out. So ask him for this as we go in prayer. Lay it down at his feet. Give this to him. You are a God of gods. You are the Prince of Peace. You are so big and so amazing. And Lord, we want our hearts not to be cluttered with junk and stuff that doesn't belong in there. Lord, search our heart. Take out, rip out those roots of envy and jealousy that don't belong there, that block us having faith and living life close to you. Lord, have your way. Have your way. In your son's name, amen. Now we know why the first verse is so hard to get through. Because we are a people that spend a lot of time fretting and worrying with envy and jealousy. But God is so good and he is so faithful. The next verses after this big doozy of a verse, he gives us the reasons and the how to stop worry and envy for good. I love that about him. He's not going to say, oh, those are tough ones. Good luck with that, church. Good luck with that. What you going to do? He says, let's go to verse 2 real quick. And it says, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. He's saying in those verses, all this junk that's around us in the world, that's on your TV, that's on Facebook, it don't mean nothing. All this stuff that seems to be so important, it's gonna die and blow away like dust. So quit focusing on it, church. Quit going after all of that. None of that matters to God. So when envy and worry rear its ugly head, because it'll happen probably before you leave those front doors, or even right now, in the next verses, 3-8, God gives us action verbs or truths to replace those lies. But with truth, that's what verses 3-8 are. Number 3, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord. In order to deal with envy and fretting, you have to trust that God is who he says he is. 4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight. You know, that word delight, we were at yogurt this weekend, and I delighted in that yogurt. I did. But that's not the delight we're talking about. Once you've tasted the goodness of God, once you've tasted the power of his Holy Spirit, that's the delight we're talking about. When you have felt the presence of your Savior and you delight in him, stop looking at the delights the world have to offer, because they will wither and die and they are false. 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, there's that word again, and he will do this. Commit your way. What does that mean? We've got commitment issues. We can't even commit if we're going to go to dinner or not. This is going to be a doozy. Give God the right to direct and control your life. Yep. Give God the right. I told you this would be tough. Not only do we have to deal with the envy and the fretting, we've got words like trust, take delight, commit. Verse 6, he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like noonday sun. Number 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Some of you, this is hitting you right here. Be still. Wait. What about my plans? Sometimes we make a whole bunch of plans and then we want God to bless them. God, look at my good idea. No, my son. Well, yes, it's a good plan. It's going to help people. No, my daughter. No. I don't think that's what he meant. I'm not listening to you. I don't know why I don't hear God. Well, because he might have said no. And we put our fingers in our ears and be like, blah, 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 blah. Why don't I hear God, Kimberly? He said no. Wait patiently. Guess what? God is a God who answers. We just don't like the answers, or sometimes we think he's taking too long. God, I'm going to need you to hurry it up. On our timeline, we want God on our timeline. I call that pocket Jesus. We pull out our pocket Jesus and be like, Jesus. Nothing. Put him back in. My way now. My way. Number 8. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Some of you driving, do you refrain from anger? This is a hard one, refrain from anger. With your husband? With your wife? With your kids? You're allowed to yell at your kids, right? Loudly. Yes, church, you say yes, Kimberly. No. Refrain from anger. We got a lot of anger going on. That's why we're so bothered in our heads. Refrain from anger. Do you know what refrain means? It means stop it. If you're walking around and you're angry all the time, we got a heart issue. Because it says, do not fret. There's fret again. Goodness, this word is haunting me. Because it only leads to evil. Listen to that again. Fretting leads to evil. Envy is the opposite. Envy is unbelief. And the opposite of envy is faith. When you spend time with envy and jealousy and fretting, it leads to evil. You stop with this foundation of trusting, taking delight, committing your way to the Lord. Be still, quieting your heart, waiting patiently, trusting him, stopping and refraining from anger. All of that will lead you this way. And God's saying, no, my child, I want you to live this way. Let's live in faith. Let's be aware of the strategies of the enemy to fill us with worry and jealousy. Let's fight like children of a king. And how we do that is we fight in prayer. That's why I wanted to practice prayer while we were here. Because it's easy to walk out that door and be like, what did she say? I don't even remember. Hopefully you laid some of that stuff at his feet. So one of your next steps is, how do you get rid of all of this? Everyone's like, well, what do I do? You go to prayer. God, I know I've got these feelings and these emotions that don't belong here. These are the lies. These are from the enemy. They're trying to rob me of my promises, your truth, my joy. Read these verses and stop. Maybe you only get past verse 1. Like me, God did a lot of work in me this week, past 2 weeks over this. Maybe you stop at trust. God, I don't know what it's like to trust you. Help me trust you. Give me some things to hold on to. Lord, help me to take delight in you. I can delight in food. I can delight in TV. I delight in Facebook. I delight in my cars. I delight in my family. I don't know what it's like to delight in you. Go to him in prayer. So that this is a part of us, that we activate this part of our faith, that we practice this daily again until it becomes so much a part of us. It's part of our DNA. It's part of what we do. It's the first thing we do. So if someone comes up to me and says, Kimberly, I'm like, oh, good. You prayed about this already, right? Because if not, we're going to pray about it right now. Because that's what a follower of Jesus is going to do, that it's the first thing we do. God wants us to put our focus on preparing our hearts and minds to follow him. And this is where he wants us to work at stuff. Not just sit there and be like, just hit me over the head with something. The Holy Spirit will do that. Getting out all that fret and worry and envy and jealousy, because they will take away and steal your story. They will dilute your story. They are distractions. They block you living out your faith. And we fall prey to them very easily. God wants us to live in victory. God wants us to live in freedom. He wants us to live in faith. That he is a faithful and good God. That he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the great I am. He is the great I am. Church, that's who you are following. That is who you are following. We are his children. We get to sit next to Jesus at his throne. That's what we are, co-heirs of Christ. You're saying, how can I do this, Kimberly? Because you are the son and daughter of a mighty, mighty king. You are not a pauper, no matter what your bank account says. Brothers and sisters, let's live like this. Not like slaves to these petty emotions of the enemy. We are not going to be slaves to this anymore. Because we are aware of the enemy's schemes. Right now, you in this room, we know. You cannot say you don't know, because you know. When you feel that envy and that jealousy and that fret and that worry, it is from the enemy. It is not from your Father. So as we go to communion, you guys, we have spent time laying our fret and our worry down. We have spent time trying to get out that envy and that jealousy. Now, during communion, let's give thanks to the King. Let's give thanks to his faithfulness. Let's praise and worship his name. Let's raise a hallelujah. Let's act like we are followers of Jesus Christ. And that's good news. Let's in communion, let's have some good news here. This is amazing. That's why I was excited tonight. Because tonight was about breaking strongholds in your life, breaking you free. And now we get to spend time saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our King. You are our Father. You are our Savior. You love us so much. Forgive us for acting like beggars. Forgive us for acting like paupers. Forgive us for just filling our life with all this distraction. Lord, you are a God of hope and a God of peace and a God of joy that should overflow out of our life. Not by our power, but by your Spirit. Praise the Lord. We come to you and rejoice. Your faithfulness. We come to you and rejoice your goodness. We come to you and rejoice that you are victory. In your son's precious, sweet, sweet name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.